What up, you beauties? This episode is brought to you by Top Cheese Hockey Wax, trusted by players and greasy pigeons everywhere who take their game seriously. Head to topcheesehockeywax.com and use code PIGEON10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. Top Cheese Hockey Wax. Grip it and rip it. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jeff Sullivan, and with me, there he is, fresh from the swim deck tonight. The girl child had her swimming meet. How'd that go, Kevin? How you feeling, buddy?
The team did really well. She did well, you know, second, first in a couple heats. So, yeah, we're waiting for the final scores. But, yeah, she did extremely well on a hot, hot evening here in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Absolutely. It is warm. But what is happening, Kevin, is the seasons are changing. Kids are reporting. Camps have started. Summer over. Hockey season is upon us. Our summer vacation schedule is coming to an end. You will probably start to see a more regular schedule moving forward with Labor Day tournaments starting the week after next. So, Kevin, we're probably right back in the flow of things. So hopefully you're ready to rock and roll, because there's no time off in the fall when it comes to the greatest sport on ice.
Kiss that tan goodbye, Jeffrey.
That's right. Kiss that
tan goodbye, buddy.
That's right. Well, we're going to jump right into it today. If you're watching us on YouTube, you already see our guests hanging out here. We want to get right to them. We are joined by Sammy Terho, old friend of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. Been on a few times now. Really good hockey insight. Really connected in the Tampa hockey world. A lot of great connections. And because of some footwork and legwork on Sammy's part and a nice connection with some coaching here in the Tampa Bay area, we are super, super pleased to be joined by our friend Dmitry Afanasenkov. He is former NHLer, former Tampa Bay Lightning, former Philadelphia Flyer, 2004 Cup winner, coach of a bunch of kids, youth kids in the Tampa area, other areas. He is now currently in Connecticut as a coach of the Mid-Fairfield Junior Rangers, which everyone in the hockey universe knows where Marty St. Louis was coaching midgets one day and coaching the Canadians the next. So Dmitry is up there with his son. I'd love to hear some stories about that. But Dmitry, Sammy, welcome to the Greasy Pigeon Podcast, and thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
You. Marty, you need to start to worry now, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. That bench is getting hot in Montreal with Dmitry in Connecticut, that's for sure.
So, has the call come out yet, Dmitry? Has the call come, you know? Well, right there.
If I'm not totally mistaken, it was Marty St. Louis that got you to Connecticut, right? That was the organization coach center. Yeah. So we know where you're going to end up in 2 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Back in Tampa.
So, Dmitry, I want to definitely get into kind of I want to get into your pro career. I'll call it later in the show. I do want to start. A lot of our listeners are the parents of the Florida youth community, right? Their kids are on the ice. They're in the travel program. That, you know, you spend a lot of time on the ice in Tampa. I want to start with your kind of, you know, youth and transition kind of story. And what was hockey like for you? What made you the excellent player you are? Like, just, you know, talk us through kind of the beginnings of your hockey story.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, same as no, you know, Sweden, Russia, it's probably kind of the same mentality, development. And back in the time, we usually start hockey like around first grade, you know, like 7, 8 years old. And we didn't play that much. So it's a big difference between here and back home. We train a lot. The coaches try to develop kids, fundamentals, skating, passing, stick handling, everything basically, you know, just to be really good at that things, you know, because if you're not going to able to skate, if you're not going to be able to pass the puck or control the puck, you know, like you're not going to be able to play. So I've been now on both sides, you know, I've been as a kid and as a player over the sea, and I've been as a coach here. So the biggest difference, the ice time, you know. And I know it's not the organization's fault. It's not the coach's fault up here. It's just not enough ice time for the kids, you know, to develop them properly, you know. Especially, I mean, in Florida and in here too, I think. I'm just a couple of weeks up here and I'm asking. Our team will skate only 2 times a week as a team, And once we have a combined practice with the U15 kids for like skills, so three times a week. And in my opinion, I think it's still not enough, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah.
No. So to hear that specifically up in Connecticut, right? I would have thought, again, just lack of ice time, like availability, or?
I think so too, because it's so many teams, you know, so many teams, and just the ice is not available, you know, and I think it's just that is the problem, you know. And I've been with you guys a long time already. I know you a long time. And when I came in Florida, I talked with lots of like hockey directors and everything, and I was saying like, why we just don't make a smaller amount of the teams, you know? You know, instead of having like we have right now in Florida, so many single A divisions or whatever, just have like before, have a one single A division, you know, and one double A. I know it's lots of kids not going to be make it, but it's going to be more competitive, and they will still have rec hockey to develop to be better to play travel hockey, you know. So just the numbers of how many kids we have right now in Florida and the lack of the ice time, I think it just kind of, it's not working for anyone, you know.
I get what you're saying, but all you're doing is changing letters, right? Because now you're saying let's have less single A and have more in-house or rec. Well, they're going to need ice too. The issue is a lot of kids that wants to play hockey, which is a good problem to have. But it does, and now I'm going to prop for you as a hockey, and I know a lot of parents do not agree with this, right? But the ADM model, and it's all about putting more kids on the ice at the same time, right? So small area games, you can have three teams on the ice. We practice at least once or twice a week, Dimitri, when we coach together, we had half ice. You can do a lot with half ice, and you get another hour of practice, right? And a lot of coaches still hate it, right? Because it's not real hockey. Parents don't like it because I'm paying for my kid to play, I want full ice. Well, there's only so much ice, right? And the way USA Hockey came up with this, they went up to, you know, Sweden, Finland, Russia, and see what are they doing different. And one of the things was ice time, right? Practice to game ratio. That's the other thing. It's a culture thing. I think here in the US, everybody wants to play games. Parents want to see their kid play games. So game to practice ratio here is 1 to 2, 1 to 2.5. Sweden is 1 to 4. Russia is probably the same, right?
Yep.
So a lot more practice in relation to games, and you learn the fundamentals. And kids, you see, that come out of those countries at 12 years old, you know, they skip better than our 16-year-olds, right? Not saying that our kids can't catch up, but that's why, right?
I think it's easier when you're younger, you know. So like, I know lots of parents like having like private lessons or extra time, but in a situation when the kids already 15, like. So when you're younger, I think it's not about the game scenario, you know? It's not about breakouts. It's not about system. It's more about have fun during the games and learn and teach the kids how properly skate, how properly pass the puck, how be a good teammate, you know? And I think it's not the problem, you know, because you still have to practice a week with your team, and you can add more ice time by doing extra stuff. You know, we have so many great coaches in Tampa area right now.
So Sammy, build on that though, like from the, you know, the European model, the Russian model, like Dimitri's talking about, the common denominator is skill development before elite competition. You know, 8U AAA isn't something that, you know, needs to be a thing in, you know, anywhere, right? But it is in the States, and it is, you know, 10U AAA. And I understand they do, you know, there's certain tournaments and there's certain things you do at the squirt level, and it gets you ready for the queue at peewees and so on and so forth. Like, I don't want to take away all the good competition that's out there at the younger levels, but I know, because we've talked about it, parents get too wrapped up in what team is my kid on, how much are they winning, how many goals are they scoring at 9 and 10 years old, and
no,
sounding, and Dimitri, you're talking about just puck touches and getting better at the game.
It's not important at all, you know, like, just let the kid develop, work on the individual skills, you know, it's really important, and You know, the games getting start important, you know, when you turning 15, 16, 17, you know. It's why I'm kind of wish we have more team practices up here, because it's really important that you play as a team, because that is already age, you know. Now you need to work on the system, you need to work on, you know, breakouts, all this stuff. You know, it's really important. You know, it's a team sport, so like it's, you know, to have a result, you need to bend together, you need to practice together a lot. You know, you develop even at the 15, 16 during the practices. You know, when you go into the game, you already show everybody what you learned during the practices. But how are you going to able to show it if you don't have a practices? You know, you're not learning during the games, you know, really. You know, yeah, you do reviews after the games, you see your mistakes, but the repetition, I think, and Sammy will agree with me, the way it's working, I think, is any sport, and you guys too. It's repetition after repetition, you know. It's touches after touches. It's mistakes after mistakes, you know. You learn through the mistakes during the practices, you know. In the games, you're not going to have so many situations like you have during the practices, you know.
Yeah, you know? Puck touches, right?
Puck touches, you know.
Yeah. Is it even in NHL? I think I read the stat somewhere that the players that has the puck under a stick the most, someone like Connor McDavid, it's like 1.5 minutes per game.
1.5 seconds, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, total in a 60-minute game, right? And every time puck touches a few seconds, and that's the star, right? How much
so you have
defensemen hold the puck, right? It's on and off the stick, right? So if you do that 7 times in a game, I'm not sure you get that much repetition. It's repetition is everything. And coming back to your question, Jeff, John has, you know, done a few camps back home in Sweden over the summers. And I remember this one drill that they did. They cut it, you know, blue line in and cut it in half. And they played 4-on-4. And kids go like, well, coach, there's no space out there. And he goes, exactly.
That's the point.
Right? It's those things that isn't the stretch passes, it isn't the flow drills when you're well, right? It's just not right. So that practice and repetition and having fun, and I don't know, this sounds cliche, but hey, it's true, right? And look at the stats. You know, how many active players do you have in those countries, and how many made it to the NHL? It's not even close, right? Yeah, 25% of the players are US. Country of 300 million, Sweden has 10% of all the players. Country of 10 million. I think they're doing something right. So when you get the base and a lot of kids, you know, eventually you get the top, you know, the best of the best. They don't cut kids at 8, 9, 10 in a AAA situation. Everybody plays. Eventually they're going to weed out. You know, who has it, right? And the ones who don't, they don't. You're not going to see that in a 9-year-old.
Here's the big thing. I totally agree with Dimitri saying once you get to that 15, 16, you need to have those systems practices. But, you know, we'll use down here in the Tampa Bay area, like, you know, we've all coached together and ice is king. And if you want to play the game, you better learn to skate.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to shoot in your driveway, shoot in your garage, shoot on the road. And, you know, Dimitri, I'll ask you, when, you know, you made it to the show, you have a cup. How many times were you out there as a kid shooting pucks and working on your skills like that you could do off ice versus having to be on the ice and skate and power skate, you know, like
a lot in the summer, in the season? I mean, in the season, we have practice every day, you know, basically Monday through Friday, we have hour and a half on ice, plus we have dry land every day. So in the season, and plus the school. So in the season was hard, you know. Plus Saturday, Sunday, we playing the games, you know. Not only me, I know even Ovi. When I already played in KHL in Dynamo Moscow, it was 2007 through 2009, I think, or 10. Ovi was practicing with us, with Dynamo Moscow, because it's his team when he played in Russia. So he was running with us 10K. He was doing weights. And after, when we already was eating, you know, we already have a lunch. On the back of our, like, base, you know, we have, like, hockey base, wherever, where you can sleep. You have food. You have ice rink. We have a outdoor, not the half ice, like a zone. He was shooting there probably after we already done. he was staying there with the coach on his in his shoes, Dryland, and doing one timers probably for the hour, almost every day, you know? So same thing when I grew up, when I was a kid, summer, it wasn't really like, you know, lots of parents, lots of kids mentality. Oh, it's a summer.
Yep.
It's off, you know? Like, with that mentality, if you really want to make D1 college or pro, you're not going to make it there. Now, so the summer is the time when you prepare for the season. Another example, everybody knows Nikita Kucherov, you know? And I've been knowing Nikita, I know, 8 years, even more. Been working with him, you know, helping him in the summer. He only taken 1 week off. Like this summer, call me, we talk with him. May 15, he was already skating. May 15, he was already. Wow. It's need to be consistent. It's why he is so consistent, because he is every day, it's on the schedule. He's going over and over again, same thing, you know. He never missed. Doesn't matter if his birthday or wherever, he's going to train, you know. He's going to train every day consistently, you know. And he have a plan for every day what he's doing. I never see a guy like this who is working hard like that, who is never happy with the result, you know.
Dimitri, you told me.
Guys, just a second. Guys ask him, like, one of the guys asked him, like, Kuch, you just have 100 whatever points, you know, in the season. You're the best. Like, you're already on ice. And you know what he said? Did we win the cup?
Yeah.
You need to be hungry. You need to be like, he's just, and lots of people doesn't know about it, you know, because he's staying quiet and he's just doing his job, you know, and he's enjoying and he's, you know, and I wish he win another few cups, you know. Just the way he's loved the game and he is so professional, you know. So, you know, I think with that mentality, if you look at him working every day, and you're a young kid, you know, you can't just, you know, take the off, you know.
So, Dimitri, I know, was it 2 seasons ago when he came out and suddenly everybody saw how good he was at picking the puck off the board, right? So it comes, rims around, and then he just gets it, and it's all perfect on his blade.
Yeah.
Is that talent, or did he really work on it, right?
It's a hard work, you know?
Right. But you said he worked for you.
He's doing 100 rims a day, every day, you know?
Right. You know? And you were there helping him, right? And didn't you also help him change the curve on his stick or the blade?
He's doing himself, and he's working with Adam Oates too, who is Hall of Famer, who was one of the best passers, and he taught him a lot, lots of stuff. I work with him more on skill wise, you know, like stick handling a little bit to kind of keep him in shape, you know. Like it's hard to change, you know, but it's more about how you feel inside you, you know, how you feel the puck. For defense, we look the same, you know, like, but it's most important how you feel inside you, you know. Sometimes you feel, I don't feel the puck. So it's all the touches, you know, all this like little things, more touches you do, you know, more rims you do around, the better and more confident you have it, you know. But it's all going through the work, you know. So.
Well, and that goes to what you said real quick. Like it's practicing with a purpose. It's not going out there and then, hey, realizing I'm on the ice. Okay, well, what do we do now? No, it's going into the rink with a purpose and making sure that you're getting those reps, you know. Yeah. And how many kids have you seen, right? And you know, I'm not throwing shade, but it's like they say they want to be better, but yet they're not maximizing their time when they're out there, or they're not going into practice with a specific idea.
You need to have a plan when you're going on the ice, skate and shoot or wherever, you know. Yeah, lots of kids going skate and shoot and they're just skating around doing nothing really, you know. You need to have a plan. Okay, I'm coming on the ice, I'm 10 minutes working on my edges, you know, 10 minutes working on this. So you have a plan. You know? If you have a plan and you kind of stay with the plan, you know, you're going to see result. But if you're one day doing one thing, another day, another thing, third day, that thing, it's same going to be, you know, one game you're playing good, one game you're not going to be consistent. You need to have a plan and stick to it, you know. And you need to prepare to the season in the summer, not during the season.
So before we leave Koosh, right? Because I've been on the ice a lot with you, you know, on skating and skills practice, and we've done, you know, group lessons, yeah. But also when you were with our team. And it comes down to four moves. You teach four moves. That's it, right? But you repeat it a million times, right? And then I know
not four, a little bit more.
Well, fundamentally, well, I know you. They're variations. They're variations. But my
variations,
point is,
yeah.
My point is,
maybe that.
All right, but my point is, all right, it's few. My point is, you know, do it well, right? Be be perfect on the few things rather than trying to do everything, right? And I know Koosh has worked with you on the same thing. It's so fun to watch on TV because you see our kids make a move that they practice with you, and then I see Koosh do the exact same move. Maybe a little better, but, you know, with him, it's all about edge work, right? You know, it's body movements and edgework. He doesn't have the fastest stick movement. His hands aren't going like kind of David. You know, it's a different style, and I know that's what you teach.
And he's fast. Koosh is fast. You know.
Oh, I know it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong, but if you just see you know, moving your hands quick, right, and how quick you can chop the onion, right, that's not his thing. And everybody's different. But my point is that, you know, repetition is everything. And to Kevin's question, right, I've been on the ice with Dimitri a lot, right? And you see after two or three sessions, which of the kids are here to really want to learn? Because it gets maybe a little boring after a time because it's a lot of repetition. And which kids are here because their parents wants to be practicing with the best, right? And I'll throw it out there. And I waste money, but you're not practicing for purpose. I'm here because my mom and dad wants me to be here, right? And you can tell the difference.
Well, and I wonder too, like, so you're working, you know, what you just said, Sammy, and listening to what Dimitri said, dealing with Koosh and the repetition and whatever, it's Dimitri, explain to the, you know, once their parents hear that Dimitri's on, the kids that have practiced with you, you know, they're going to jump on and listen to want to hear you kind of explain hockey to them, right? You're talking to that 12, 14, 16 year old, really 12, 14 year old kid right now. There, oh, he trains Kucherov. I want to do a Kuch. What do you do with Kuch on the ice? That's what I want you to do with me on the ice. Explain to them that the things Kuch does is the fundamentals of hockey at a different speed, but it's still, to Sammy's point, the same 5, 10, 15 things that you do with a 12-year-old. Like, just break that down to really help them understand.
I mean, it's the same game. Like, guys playing on the NHL and kids playing, it's the same situations. Same game, you know, just again, kids, guys are more bigger, more skilled now because they're bigger, but it's the same game situation. You know, you skating, you know, use your edges, you pick it up the puck from the board, you pass the puck. So same mistakes kids doing at 12U, same mistakes NHL guys doing, you know. It's the same, the game, it's just different level, you know, much quicker, much faster, much, you know, guys are bigger, you know, but the elements is the same, you know. So this thing that kids are working, basically, I'm working with the kids, the same stuff we basically doing with Nikita or with Artem Zub when he's playing for the Ottawa defenseman when he's coming, you know. It's the same thing. It's nothing different. You know, and you can kind of, it's simple game. It's a simple game. And like in any sport, fundamentals, it's need to be, if you want to be really good, your fundamentals need to be on the top. Your skating, your edges, your stick handling, your vision, it's need to be on the top. It's nothing fancy. You don't need to do Michigan. You don't need to do all the stuff is kids like now, you know, all the stuff. You're not going to use it in the game. Yeah, it's fun. It's nice to watch. But, you know, like just need to be perfect at your fundamentals. You know? And lots of kids are missing, not only in Florida and here too. Skating, passing, shooting, you know. And another thing. Lots of kids doesn't want to work on it. Or parents think it's like, oh, it's a simple stuff. Well, what the heck, you know. So, and I really, okay, you know, you don't like it, go find another coach or whatever. But I do what I believe will help the kids. And I know it will, you know, if you stay with it. So
yeah, well, I can attest firsthand, being on the ice and seeing my own son, and you know, that summer when he was on ice, because we were there and he had to be there twice a week, and we did 90-minute session of just power skating. Yeah. Twice a week. So he essentially got 30 hours of power skating in the summer. And guess what? He became really good. But that's just right. It takes that time of repetition. And again, that's a lot of kids, parents, you know, they want to play games.
Yeah.
And they want to put it on work.
I mean, yeah.
I was going to, you touched on like the fundamentals, absolutely, right? Skating, passing, shooting. You mentioned vision, though. You know, that's an interesting one because I've always said, you know, it's either you love the game and you're going to watch the game when you're not at the rink, you're going to watch it on television, you're going to actually see, you know, what different outlets there are. In your experience with the younger generation now, are many of them watching hockey, or are they just watching the quick, you know, Instagram top shelf?
Watching like a whole picture, you know, they're just watching the game. You know? But going there, but what my coach, and I got really lucky, I have a really great coaches when I grew up in Russia. So what our coach was telling when we was the kids, in Russia, same like in Sweden, you know, we have a pro team, and under the pro team, you have all the youth organization, you know. So the pro team kind of take care of the youth organization, you know, it's the same name, same brand. And when we was 13, 14, 15, same like kids in Tampa, they like it. They can go watch the Lightning. We was going watch our pro team in Russia, you know. And our coach tell us, you know, pick the player who is playing same position, you know, and follow him whole the game, you know. And then, and he was watching with us, you know. And we have a tapes back in the day. They was taping the pro team video coach was taping the games, and our coach was taking a clip, the tape from him. So he was basically asking us, like me or another guy, each game he picked a couple guys. He's like, okay, who you follow? And I said, I follow this guy, number 10, because he's playing left wing too. He's like, okay, what you think he did good? What you think he did bad, you know, and your opinion, what you did on his situations. He basically told us to learn the game through the pro guys and watch the guy, what he's doing on the half board, on one situation, what he's doing on two on one, what he's doing on a forecheck, you know, how he's changing, you know, all this stuff. So I tell Daniel right now, like, pick the guy. So when we go into the games, like, he basically love coach. Coach is his best basically guy, you know. He's watching him a lot. But when we go and watch like another team, Toronto or, you know, Buffalo, he like Thompson. He's watching them, what he's doing at the different situations, you know. So you can learn a lot from these guys, you know, how to play the game. Plus, I think it's really important that, maybe not that small kids, you know, but I think when you're already 12, 13, to watch your games, you know, like to have I know, like, you guys know, I did lots of review with my teams after the games, you know. We did like all different situation, all different how they score, how we score. So I think, but it's good when you're doing with the team, you know, you kind of looking main picture at the how is the team success, or, you know, get score on or score a good breakout or something, you know. But it's good to watch as an individual too, you know, like, especially right now it's so easy, you have live bar, you can get your clips and just watch your game, how you playing, what you didn't see on that situation. Maybe you got smoke, why you get smoke, maybe you didn't see the defenseman, you didn't have a shoulder check, you know. So, and I think right now, talking with lots of guys, pro guys, it's becoming most important in the game, you know, the preparation, how you prepare for the game, and analyze after the game, you know, the reviews of your games, you know. So the mental part, you know, because everybody is good, you know. If you watch the NHL right now, everybody can skate now. know, everybody can pass the puck. It's all coming to the mental preparation and like analyze after the game of the mistakes going over your game. I think it's most important. And I was telling my guys too, when I coach Junior Lightning, you guys need to prepare for the games. You know, you prepare for the games day before. When you go into the bed, you go lay down in the bed. In your head, you need to basically run all these scenarios you're going to play tomorrow. What are you going to do on the half board? You need to basically see your game through your, like, play your game through your head, you know? All the different scenarios, you know, same thing after the game. We don't have a video like kids can do right now, live bar. So after the games, I was kind of go through all my shifts I remember, and I was like, oh, I should do this here, this, you know, instead of what I did. So it's really important. It's another part of the game that everybody, when they are kids, when they are younger, they're not taken serious, you know, preparation and basically the video reviews after the games, you know.
Hey, beauties, season started. Not getting the birds to chirp your way? Head on over to greasypigeon.com for some gear.
Well, and I think it's being honest with yourself too, right? Like they all want to see, you know, the handful of plays that they did really well. The ones that really want to improve are the ones that are, you know, you said it yourself, Cooch is out there a week after, you know, getting bounced from the playoffs, and he's out there working because his goal was not fulfilled. You know, it's crazy to me when parents want to show the highlights, and, you know, if you really want to get better, you got to look at where you got smoked. And, you know, how are you going to defend that the next time? Or, you know, what are you going to do differently? And that's the difference between, you know, the good and the greats, right? In my personal opinion. But
Dimitri, you touched already about a little bit about Russia, but maybe you can pivot to your own journey. And so how did your career start back in Russia? When and how did you move over to North America? I know you got drafted, but, you know, I know there's a bunch of stories there. So if you don't mind sharing that.
Oh, yeah. So it was hard times, you know. So I basically play in my hometown. It's called Arkhangelsk. It's north of Russia. It's 1,200 kilometers straight north from Moscow.
Jeez, that's Siberia, no?
Siberia. It's on the east.
That's east. That's true.
Yeah, it's
but
right,
it's up north.
Right up north, close to the White Sea. You know, so basically almost the last city up there, Murmansk. Murmansk is another one, a little bit to the west, north of Russia. That is the kind of, but small city, really cold, you know, winters long, you know. So I started there and I played there. We have a really good school for the kids up there. I was playing from 8 to 12, and around 12 it started to kind of fall apart, you know. Like, we don't have a really pro team up there, and no money to kind of go with that organization farther, you know. So our coach, who was coaching me, he left to the Yaroslav. He left here early to the Yaroslav, and he told us, like, you guys continue practicing here. After 1 year, I'm going to come back, and I will take five best kids with me. So after the year he came back, he took five of us to Yaroslav, and I was basically already with another coach, because he was my coach was coaching a little bit older kids. He kind of gave us to the another really great coach up there, and I was there from 12 to the 18, playing for the junior Yaroslav. Now it's Lokomotiv. Before it was Torpedo Yaroslav, so I played there from 12 to 18.
How far is this from your hometown?
Yaroslav is probably around 1,000. It's close to Moscow. Yaroslav probably like 4 or 5 hours on the car from Moscow.
Okay.
So we was first guys who came up there from different cities. You know, like, it was 1992. So none other teams in Russia was kind of, they was growing up their own players, you know, from the same hometown, you know. So it wasn't really guys from different cities. We was the first guys, you know. We was living in 10 guys in one room. It was like, I mean, we was the kids, so we don't really care. But now going forward, now go backwards, I'm like, it was crazy, man. So
yeah,
it was crazy. Yeah. We train a lot. Everything was walking distance, you know, school, rink. It's like 5-10 minutes walk. So we train in the morning, 7 to 8:30, 9 o'clock school to probably 2 o'clock. We was going back, have a quick lunch, homework, and 5 o'clock to usually 6:30, we have a second practice, like dry land, you know, and every day like that, and Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we was playing the game. So 6 years was the same. Plus, we only have a 2 weeks off, so school was finished end of the May. Around June 20, we already start practicing in the summer. So June, half of the June, July, August, 3 times a day.
Wow.
3 times a day.
Wow.
8 o'clock we wake up. 8 to 9 a.m. we have it was called a warm-up. We have 5K. We have pull-ups, push-ups, ups, planks, running with the partner on your shoulder on the stairs in the studio. So it was kind of our warm-up.
That's the warm-up.
That is warm-up.
Yeah. So 9 o'clock we was done. 9:15, 9:30 we have a breakfast. 11 o'clock we have a second practice. One group was going on ice 11 to 12. Second group was doing dry land. Then we switch. So basically 11 to 2 o'clock have a lunch, little sleep. 5 to 7 we have another practice, another ice. And it was tough. So Monday, Tuesday we have like that. Wednesday, it's usually was our kind of game day. We have 10K run and the game, 2 hours games play against each other. Thursdays, Friday, we have 3 times a day again. Saturday, we have again game day, 10K run and the 2 hours of the games, you know. And Sunday, we have off. So this is I told them, the kids taking off the summer. We was preparing the summer for the season, you know.
That's crazy.
Between
that, I was playing for the junior and Russian junior national team. So I think we started at 14. I think at 14, when you're 14, they put in together that national team. U14, U15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Like I played for the national team. I was like first, second line all the time. So I didn't miss anything. A couple things I missed because of the injuries, but I was the main guy who played there. So went to the junior World Junior Championship when I was already here. We finished second, loss to Czech and shootout. But basically until 18 years old, I was playing in Yaroslav. And when I got drafted at 18, Lightning asked my agent if I want to come here. And I'm like, I was happy because I was thinking I'm not going to survive there if I'm going to stay a little bit longer. It was tough.
Yeah.
So I did.
I don't know what.
Yeah. This is another perfect segue.
Well, I just want to ask real quick, Sammy. Yeah, like, is obviously you were with a core group of guys throughout those years.
Yeah.
How many of them, you know, made it to the Russian national junior team?
A lot. So the Yaroslav brought, like I tell you, we was the first guys who they brought it from different cities.
Okay.
So yeah. After that, they brought lots of guys from the Ukraine, from different cities. So we was, I think, 4 or 5 times national champions. We was, wow. I think, U14, U15, 16. So we have 10 guys from that team. We play for the national team. So all these 10 guys got drafted. So
no kidding.
They got drafted high and they have a really good NHL career. So Ilya Brizgalov, the goalie, he was in Philadelphia. He was Dmitry Kalinin. He was first rounder in Buffalo.
Buffalo,
Vitaly,
yeah.
Vitaly Vishnevsky, he was a first round Anaheim. Anton Boot. It was like all of us got drafted and really high, I think, first 3 rounds, you know. So
Do you have a chat going now and say our kids?
I'm talking with actually probably with most of the guys now. Yeah, I think Vitaly live in California. Bruce Golliff is living here. So lots of guys actually live here now, you know? So
you got drafted.
Sorry, say, yeah, go ahead. So I was going to say, your kids have no idea what you guys went through.
Yeah.
It is cupcake city nowadays.
It was hard to move to North America.
Same story, Sammy. It was hard because when we turned 16, we was trained most of the time with our pro team, with basically men's, you know, like 20, yeah. 21. And it was hard because coaches was like old school and they don't care your kids, you know. He was doing like lifting the same thing. Like, it was crazy. It was really, really hard. And back in the time, you know, I'm nice. The guys doesn't like the older guys, doesn't like the young guys. So it was lots of cross-checking, slashing. We was surviving there. So we was all 10 going together. Like, you know, like we was kind of little, you know, little dogs. If somebody bites, like somebody crush one of us, we all 10 of us go on that guy. It was great times, you know. It was really, really good. Actually, Denis Shvitky too was there. He live in Miami right now. He was drafted, I think, 10 overall by the Panthers, you know. So it was Piotr Shislivy was there, who is play for the Ottawa. So it was great. It was tough, but it was great times because it was a great guys around, you know. And we was sticking to each other, you know. That was most important, you know.
That's another difference with European, you know, sports, right? Where yeah. it's all club, and the club yeah. can have everything from U6 to pro, right? Yeah. Then you get moved up and down, and if you're talented, you're 16, 17, yeah, you get pulled in to play with the men, right? That would never happen here because you have the, you know, the pro organizations and the youth organization completely separate.
Yeah,
right?
It's different structure here. Yeah,
yeah. So that helps your development too, that you get exposure to the olders and you get cross check and you yeah. know, slash and all that stuff. No, but you're with those older guys. All right, now you get drafted. I know you played in the QHL and you were racking up points because you're a top six player, right? Top six line, yep. right? Or tip. Yep. And now you end up with Lightning, and suddenly those two lines were kind of full, right? And
yeah,
you had to transition.
I was always scorer, you know. I was always yep. scorer and. I scored a lot for national team and junior world championship. I think I scored 5 goals in the 6 games. Like
looking at it right now, you got 6 points in 7 games.
Yeah, so, I think yeah, I was top 4 in the goals in the tournament.
Yeah,
we beat Canada. We beat Canada in the semis.
Yeah.
Brad Richards was
there. That's it. To be Trav out of here.
When I went to Tampa, like I told you, a couple years it was. Slow me down. It was really, really great first year. Lightning have their own farm team. It was Detroit Vipers.
Yep.
And Brett Shaw, who is coaching, he was coaching with John Tortorella, actually, for the Columbus. And I think he was coaching with him for the Philly last year or whatever. So Brett Shaw was our coach. It was great. We played ton of games. I think I finished my first year, and it was IHL. It was 2 leagues before. It was International Hockey League and AHL. So we was playing International Hockey League. I think I finished like 60 games, 37 points, lots of points, you know. And I got called up for last 20 games in the Lightning. Last like couple months I spent in the Lightning. And last couple of years I didn't make the team from the beginning, and I was sent down to the. It was a Springfield Falcons. It was Arizona Phoenix Coyotes. Arizona. Yeah, Phoenix Coyotes
yep. Yep.
farm team, and most of the guys from their side, and I think from the Lightning side was only like 5 guys, and coach was Marty McSorley, you know. So we didn't play a lot. Different style of the game. Marty is great guy, you know, like funny guy, but you know, the way it wasn't my game, you know. Like I don't chip the puck, I don't, you know. So it was really hard couple season. Even the second season, my agent asked Lightning if I can go back in Europe and finish with my coach there, and they allowed me to go. And after that, basically, when I come back and 2003. Between that, I played back and forward, you know, Lightning, farm team. I got a bunch of injuries. So, like 2000, I think 2003, I was most time with the Lightning, but I only played like 5 games because I have my knee surgery, broke wrist. So, but when I come back, I was not really good defensively. You know, I was putting the points, but defensively I was soft. You know, and Torres told me right away, we don't have a spot for you in first two lines. If you find this third line, you know, like you will be like, it's not that way, but basically they let me know, you know, that no place in the first two lines, third line. And I was like, I don't care. I just want to play, you know, but I was bad defensively. Not bad. I was soft.
Yeah.
So he helped me. He helped me a lot. And he helped me a lot to become basically a responsible player defensively. You know? So I was basically playing really defensively forward, more like, yeah, two-way forward. I wasn't scoring a lot, but when he needed to put me in first two lines, I was able to play there, you know. But I at that time, I was kind of bent, like going back and forward, and I don't care. I just want to play. My dream was win the cup. You know? Like when I was a kid, I actually drew the Lightning logo and I put it. I don't know why. I just like it how it's look, you know. And my mom keep it and I put it above my bed, you know?
That's awesome. That's so good.
And I think it was a different logos too. It was, but Lightning was there, New York Islanders was there, Detroit was there. So a funny story, when I got drafted, Phil Esposito was the, he was, I think, GM, I think, that time. And but draft was in Buffalo. And, you know, I want to win the cup, so I want to play Detroit or some good team, you know. You know, I was a kid. I wasn't really realized, you know, like that it's better chance to play in NHL, go in some team that is not that good like Detroit. So Detroit was, you know, Fedorov, and I know Sergei and another lots of guys who play there, you know, Kozlov and. I want to play there because they good team. They're going to win the cup. So I want to win the cup. So when Lightning draft me, I wasn't really kind of, I don't say happy, but I was kind of like, because there wasn't good at that time. Huh? So when I went to the table to shake the hands to everybody in the draft, you know, Phil was there. Phil shake my hand. I was like this. You know, I wasn't happy. Phil asked me, are you not happy? I mean, I don't speak English that time. So I talked with Phil a couple years ago when we have a 20 years of celebration of our cup, 2004. Yeah. I'm like, Phil, when you shake my, and I'm really good, like Phil is a great guy, you know, and he did so much for the, you know, for the Lightning hockey, you know. And I'm like, hey, Phil, do you remember when I shake your hand, you asked me why I'm not happy? And he's like, yeah, I remember. He wasn't like smiling. He was like grumpy. I'm like, yeah, because Phil, you guys was not really good at that time, and I want to win the cup, but I didn't realize. I didn't realize that I probably don't have a chance to make the Detroit, you know. So he was laughing. So in the end, you see how it's kind of, you know, and in my full first year, we won the cup, you know.
Dimitri, real quick, like, you weren't soft defensively. You didn't have to play defense back, like, because you're always offensive, right? So I think what Jeff was saying and Sammy were saying is you get drafted and you have first, you know, the first two lines are already stacked with the team that you come to. You got to change your game then, right? Because everyone can play. Yeah. And now it becomes, you know, okay, do I want to stay up? Then I got to learn to be a 200-foot player. But, like, when you look at the numbers that you put up before then, you know, you were never in a situation to have to do that because you were that guy. But
yeah,
now
but
you...
Kevin, I don't know, but I never care about my numbers, you know? I was playing for fun, you know? I never really checked my numbers. I don't know why. My dream was win the cup. You know, I don't know. I saw, like, No, back in the time, and we didn't really know all these big names. I mean, Bodor, Gretzky, we know, but it was lots of another really great players we didn't know, you know. But we knew Fedorov, we knew Fetisov, we knew Larionov, you know, and they all win the cup, and we was like, wow, I want to win too, like you know, it's so awesome. So for me, it wasn't really a big deal. I just want to play. I just want to play, and if they're going to tell me you need to play goalie, I'd be playing goalie. I don't really care. I just want to have a chance to play and chance to win, you know. So I think it's really important as the player, because you never know, you know, in what situation you're going to be put, you know. Maybe you're playing all your life left wing and coach going to put you in the center or right. Or even I play a couple games defense and the World Cup, you know, because one of our deals was injured. So, like, you need to kind of be prepared, be ready to adjust. So yeah. I think it's really important, you know. And same like Sergei Fedorov, one of my probably best players who I look at, you know, like how he skated. He was great scorer, but he played really well defensively too, you know.
Yeah,
like he played defense sometimes too. He was like, you know, two way player, you know.
Well, I think it's that champion mindset, right? And the greats always have that championship first mindset, where they understand that the grind is part of the fun. It's kind of, I heard this phrase, it's type two fun, right? Type one fun is the thing that's fun while you're doing it. Ride a roller coaster, you know, go down a water slide. Like that's, you know, if you get 10 seconds of fun, yay. Type two fun is like, I'm running a marathon. It sucks the entire time you do it. But once it's over and you accomplish it, you're like, wow, that was awesome. I'm going to do it again. Right? Like that we all have those type two fun things. Dimitri's is hockey. Like his was fun the whole time, but you know, it sucked living in a house with 10 guys and it sucked doing this and it sucked doing that. But yet it was fun. You just heard him say it there, fun the whole time. So that fun mindset plays like carries over and definitely drove you to like help you get to where you are, clearly.
Yeah, it's you become the family. Like it was so great when we won the cup, you know, but it just lots of things. You spend so many times with the guys in the plane and in the hotels. It's just like, I know, you kind of living the dream, like your childhood dream. You're like a kid, you know, around exactly the same kids playing the game you love. It was just, for me, it was so fun. I miss maybe not being nice right now playing, because it's hard physically, you know, right now, you know, but just missing be around the guys, you know, like in the hotels and the road trips, you know, just in the dress room, you know, after the games, you know, like it's just fun, you know?
At a much different level, Sammy and I talked on the phone before, you know, an hour or so, 2 hours ago, whatever, talked about how we haven't seen each other. We haven't had a drink, you know, had a beer in what seems like a year. Like you miss that. It's the locker room, right? For lack of a better term, that you miss the locker room of the conversation and the, I see you guys three times a week and we're hanging out and we're having a beer once in a while. Like you lose that and life takes over and, you know, you move on. So I've heard that from a lot of pros, Dimitri, where, you know, they can't go lace them up because yes, the game has gone past them, so to speak, but they miss the locker room.
I know Dimitri actually did play in the beer league tournament. And I think, what did you score, like 9 goals in 2 games?
In a period? Yeah, that's probably what I heard. Yeah,
after for the week, you know, I was on all in ice, Tarragon, you know. it was hard. The one way, like one thing you coach kind of with the kids on the ice, you show them. But another thing, you put all your stuff up there. You know, it's a whole different game, you know.
It's heavy, right? Yeah. It's heavy.
It's heavy, yeah.
Hey, can you bust a myth for us, Dimitri? Because obviously you play for Tortorella, right? And the Tortorella we all seen and heard, like how tough and mean it can be, right? But I know you have a little bit of a different story when you had your first kid.
Yeah. No, Torts, I think, and Torts is a great guy. It's because of him I play in the league, you know, because he believed in me and he knows my story. I was going back and forward, but I never quit, you know. I never went back in Russia, but I was going one training camp, second training camp, third training camp. I was I, I, I told myself, until I'm not making it, I'm not going back, you know. And he believed in me too, you know. And he's like, yeah, everybody's saying he's a tough guy. Like, he's really, like, strict. He's regular nice guy, you know. He's strict. He's really disciplined. He's all about the family. He treats everybody the same. Doesn't matter if it's superstar, first guy, first liner guy, or four guy. He treats everybody the same as a family. And if you mess up, he's gonna tell you. He's gonna tell you that straight in the face. Doesn't matter if it's me or Vinny. He's gonna tell you. You know, and I think it's most important. Be honest. You know, with each other. You know. And,
accountability, right? Accountability.
We play in hockey. It's a tough game, you know. And I think now it gets a little bit too much soft, you know. And I mean, he's right on the point. And for me, it was great, you know. Like, I never have a problem with him. And I think none of from our team when we won the cup, you know, have a team with stars, you know. And I heard a couple of stories about how he's really tough on the guys. I think it's just a bullshit, you know. He's a straight guy. He's gonna tell you to the face, and all about family. Yeah. And we was playing first round playoff against the Islanders, my wife was you know, due to Dominica with our daughter, you know. It was the first round, so she got the baby, I think, after the game, when Marty scored, we clinched that first round against the Islanders in OT. And right the same night, I think, not the same night, I think, before that game, actually, sorry, before that last game, game five, I think we beat them 4-1, we have a baby. And I was in the hospital, and I slept in, you know. I didn't slept all night. I sleep in the hospital, I wake up, went to the pregame skate, went home. I usually take a nap before the game, and I just didn't hear my alarm. And my wife was calling me, like, it's already like 6 o'clock. We have usually 6 o'clock meeting. He's like, hey, Dmitry, are you late? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, it's already 6 o'clock. And I look at the clock, and I'm like, holy shit. One thing I was thinking, like, Thor's gonna kill me, you know? Because he's really strict. He's on, you need to be on the time, and it's good. So we was living just in Harbor Island, just across the bridge, you know. So I just put my suit quick. I didn't even tie it up. I just ran to the car, went up there, come into the dress room. And I come into the dress room, and same time Marty is, I think, leaving or just going to the room for the meeting. And he see me, I'm like all messed up. He will start laughing, you know, on me. And I walk in there, and only one thing starts to ask. He's like, how's your wife? How's your baby? And I said, everything good. He's like, yeah, okay, great to hear. Just sit down. That's it, no? So you can tell just about that, how family guy he is. I was wishing that, because I was all shaking. It was, you know, first baby plus the playoff. I was kind of wishing he's not gonna play me a lot that game, because I was shaking. But I played like 15 or 16 minutes that game.
I'll teach you to sleep in.
Get right out there. Just shake it off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is my experience. He was strict, but again, he was really treating everybody the same, you know. So that is, in my opinion, it's really important, you know, like in the team, that everybody feel that he doesn't have a favorites. He doesn't have a, he just treat everybody the same, you know. And it was feel like a family. You know? It was like he always was saying, I'm not gonna, if you come to me and say I need to go because something like in my family, I'm not gonna even ask if you can go.
Yeah,
family. He was always putting the family first, you know. He's saying we just playing the game, but the family it's most important, you know. And we always. It was great.
Yeah, well, it's crazy that your story, your memory of Tortorella is what it is. I'm sure a lot of guys, when you actually would sit them down and talk to them, have a very similar story of Tortorella. But of course, when you're on the outside, you know, like we are, you're seeing the torts blow ups and you're seeing the videos and you're hearing the funny stories on the Chicklets and things like that of the guys. And I'm sure, you know, if we talked longer, Dmitry, you know, there's always
Jeff, but he's an emotional guy. But how you can play hockey without the emotions?
100%.
100%. How you can play? It's you know, like you can, and you know, like I think it's normal, you know, like, and for me it was normal because I see much worse back in Russia, you know.
I was so, just gonna say
maybe because I'm from Russia, torso was for me regular, you know.
You're getting yelled at eating ice cream. I could just see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but for me wasn't like a regular day with torso, you know. I was falling, it was fine, you know?
This bothers you, like, yes. Come on. Let's hop on a plane.
Come in Russia.
Yeah, exactly. And every player reacts differently. And some players love it. And some eras, everyone loves it. And some eras, everyone hates it. And some players love it. And even today, some react better to that style of coaching than others. And it's just a whirlwind. Yeah. But Dimitri, man, we've really appreciate your conversation, your deep dive your career. Was that too easy? You know. I think we did okay. I think we did okay today.
You don't want to talk about youth hockey?
Hey, we'll bring you back on, Dimitri, and we'll talk a little bit more youth hockey midseason.
I was basically telling you about the what I am enjoying right now to be a coach, because I have same kind of feelings when you're around the kids, you know, like you're in the dressing room with them, you watch them having good time, you kind of enjoying that, you know, you're going with them on the trips, you see them, you know, like goofing around. So you kind of remember yourself when you was a kid, and you kind of enjoying that through them. When you're on the bench with them, you know, you kind of know what they feeling, you know, because I was playing, I know what I was feeling when you're in a different situation, different games, you know, it's a really important game in the States or where. So like I going through the same kind of feelings, just coaching the kids. That's why I love coaching, because I like, I see the kids join the high. I love the game, you know, and I see the kids love the game, and I kind of enjoy that, be around them, you know, and trying to help them to be a good persons in life, and off ice and on ice, you know. So it's just fun, you know. It just for me, like, you know, I've been playing all my life, and I want to continue kind of be in the game.
Do you see them reacting different to you because of, you know, you're coaching one of the elite teams in the country, right? The Mid Fairfield Junior Rangers, and, you know, that AAA, you're in that prime age group. Like, do you see that they're reacting to what you're giving them? They're retaining it better. They understand it better. They're more willing to do the work you want them to do. Like, how different is it for you up there?
But now. Right now, we like I'm helping here. I'm not like head coach. I'm helping Chris. We have a great coach here. He's a really great guy and a coach. He's been, I think, with Mid Fairfield for many years. I think Marius and Louis know him. But we met with him before, but I didn't know what he was basically doing on ice, you know. And we combined two teams right now, so it's kind of a little bit messy because lots of kids, and we just going through the, you know, through the simple drills, like kind of tune-ups for the skills. We're going to start our already separate practices for our teams, U15 and U16, this weekend, you know. So I just kind of meeting the guys, kind of watching from the side right now. But Chris is really good the way he is, and I think he is working for the New Jersey Devils skills coach. The way he is, the drills he's giving to the kids, the way he is stopping and explaining, you know, the kids. He's not just running the drill and that's it. So he stopped the drill if it's not correct. He explaining, he showed differences. So like Daniel and I am lucky we kind of here, because he is a great coach, and I think it's going to be really good for myself and for Daniel kind of, you know, too. So it's... I can tell that intensity here much higher, you know. The kids, it's really, really committed, really working hard, you know. So that everybody taking serious, you know. So that is kind of, you know, a big difference, you know. No goofing around on the ice. Everybody ready to go, everybody jumping, everybody pushing each other, you know. So it's been great a couple of weeks. So we have a tournament this Monday already coming, so we'll see how it's going to be, you know. So
how's Daniel adjusting?
Daniel's good. He's the first year of the dad not going to coach him, really, like not
yeah,
the head coach.
So. That's going to be interesting,
so
right?
He's like it. He's already have a couple bodies up there, so he like it, you know. So he's excited, you know, excited.
And so, on our last show, we had Owen DeGraff on, who was a Tampa product that was coached by a lot of you guys. You coached him a lot. He played a couple of years with the Junior Gulls, moving on to the USHL next year. But he had this. He said the same thing about his experience with the Gulls as you just said about Mid-Fairfield. Everyone on the ice, no goofing off. Everyone pulling the rope the same way. Everyone giving 100%. Like, that's what it takes to be the elite of the elite. There is no question about it.
Yeah, you're there for a purpose. It's now the rubber hits the road, right? Like, if you want to continue on, you're not going to be able to kick skates out from underneath and goof around while a coach is talking.
Yeah, you do. You develop through the practices. You develop through you're getting better during the practices. If you're going to not take it serious, not going to work 100%, not going to, you know, commit it during the practices, it's going to be the same thing in the game, you know? You're not going to just come to the game, turn that switch on and play at different speed, or it's all need to be work on during the training, you know, practices, you know. So
Kevin, take that notes down as for you on this show, because that's what you need, buddy. You gotta practice during the week, so when you show up here and flip that switch, you are ready to go, bud.
Like Dimitri said, I visualize these shows.
Well, you keep visualizing, buddy. We'll keep practicing. Repetition is best, and we'll close this thing just like we ended it, man. Practice with purpose. We'll podcast with purpose. Sammy, Dimitri, appreciate you guys being here. Thank you so very much for letting us pick your brain and having those conversations. Kevin, great job today, bud. Enjoy the week. We'll see you next time.
On the sidelines, baby.
Absolutely. We'll see you next time in the Pigeon's Nest. Cheers, everybody.